نام لکشم حنمان کی
جا
appearance days. But every day someone is appearing. Someone, but not the somebody, anybody, but not. But today it's not just anybody, it's somebody. Appearance day of Ramchandra. We also had a Debataka Maharaj, who was also delivering the world through his preaching and his encouragement to the devotees, you know, all over the world. Ram also came to deliver the world. Well, actually, to perform his pastime. When Krishna appears, Swayam Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who enjoys transcendental pastimes in various ways in Vrindavan and Mathura and Dvarka. Ramchandra appears. Previously, Krishna appeared as Ramchandra, along with Balaram. But then Balaram was in the form of Lakshman, his younger brother. And Lakshman got a little bit fried. Because Lord Ram is such a moralist. He follows Dharma to the extreme. And that's the ordeals Lakshman had to go through was extreme. So in the case, in the next time, when Krishna appeared, Lakshman came in the form of Balaram, being the older brother. The older brother is not obliged in the same way to follow the younger brother. Even though they, knowing that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Balaram was in a serving mood of Krishna. Okay, so here is Lord Ram, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, appearing. And that is, he is the same, that is our Supreme. Our Supreme Personality of Godhead, and that's the mystery. Our Supreme Personality of Godhead appears over and over again, but never exactly the same. So we also have Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 500 years ago in the form of his own devotee. So the Supreme Lord is one, but his manifestations are many. It doesn't mean that any manifestation is the Supreme Lord. Not of the same category, at least. I mean, okay, this microphone is also a manifestation of the Supreme Lord, we can say, but it's not the same as the deity, exactly. We're worshipping the deity. We're not worshipping statues. We're worshipping the deity who manifests and is present in this form. Of course, the microphone also. In one sense, we're using the microphone to glorify the Lord. And to that degree, it also has gets the quality of the Lord. But the Lord appears, the one Lord appears, over and over again in various forms. So, how is it? Yes, he appeared as Lord Ram a long time ago. And I don't know what yuga was it. Treta Yuga. It was not such a yuga, it was Treta Yuga. They had kings in those times. And in such a yuga, I think something, such a yuga, they didn't really need kings even, because everyone was a Brahmana, peaceful, whatever. Leave that there. So, there was, Raghupati Raghava Rajaram. So Raghupati, he is Lord Ram, appears in the Raghu dynasty. I think that means the Sun Dynasty. Actually, the story about the narration about Lord Ram is in the Ramayana. Because there's various versions. We Prabhupada said the authorized is the Valmiki Ramayana. Valmiki was original speaker, so to say. And then as others have re-spoken it in various ways, but that's may or may not be accurate always. So Valmiki, he spoke the Ramayana. In the beginning here we have a story, a narration of Valmiki. There's Valmiki and Narada Muni. And Narada Muni gives an overview of Lord Ram's pastimes. But then goes into details and then gives an elaboration on the matter and then tells Valmiki what he should write. Valmiki was traveling with his disciple and come to a beautiful spot on the river, and it was all so wonderful, and there was two, I think it was pigeons or something like that, that were having a good time on the branch of a tree. And but then something terrible happened. And there was a hunter there, and these two birds engaged in loving affairs, of course, saying that's the way of life. But then this hunter, in a cruel way, he just shoot and killed the male bird, and he dropped down bloody on the ground. And then the female bird goes after and is lamenting. And then Valmiki, he feels some sadness. No, he feels sad. He's a sage, so he feels, what a terrible, why did this happen? When these birds were, why? So he pronounces a curse of the hunter. So that curse turns out in a poetic way. So then he realized that what I said had a poetic whatever. So in one sense, poetry started there. His shoka, his lamentation became a sloka. Sloka, a verse. So then there was like the birth of the slokas, of the verses, with this sloka, this lamentation. In one sense, we can say that, I ask you, this thing, is it going down or is it, maybe it's okay, it doesn't matter so much. You should get some better arrangement. It's a little bit annoying. You have the feeling that you hear it goes down there. Okay, so, but that maybe gives a kind of a way of this Ramayana, or the story about Ram, or the life of Ram. Because it's a beautiful story, but in one sense, there's a lot of lamentation. Of course, if a beautiful story, and it's all Hare Krishna. not good enough. Okay, still thinking. That's okay.
No, it's the same. Because of this momentum here. That's why
we have become entangled in the material world.
Physical law. Like it's now, it should be.
Okay. Yeah.
When it's in the middle. Like
this. Okay, good. Okay, now if there's a story. Well, that puts less weight here. Okay, if there's a story. Usually stories, all stories is like this. There's some happiness and there's some sadness. And then at the end there's some happiness again. And they live happy forever. So let's say. Well, okay, the Ramayana. Well, in any case, it starts off nice and then Ram appears. And it's Ram Navami, it's most important. This is the ninth day, actually it was Friday, I think. 9 days after the new moon, in the month of Chaitra, whatever, Chaitra, okay. Correct me when I need it. In the month of Chaitra, it's in the spring. So that's when Lord Ram appears. And then it's 9th, and then there's the 10th day, and then there's the 11th day. That's the Ekadasi. Actually, we have Ekadasi today, okay, so that's the 11th day. Okay. So, then what happened was that actually yes, that was the birth of poetry. The birth of poetry. So Valmiki writes down, he also gets blessings by, I think it was Lord Brahma actually. But, okay, basically it's like this. There's Ayodhya. That's the capital. And where the king is Dasarath. And he's descending into Raghu dynasty. And he has a desire to have a child. He has three wives. Let's see, three wives, yes. Three wives. And he wants to have a child. And apparently, he has got some time and there's no child has come. Okay. So usually, people don't think so much about it. Well, how to make children, but... Okay. So he decides to make a sacrifice to get a good child. And this becomes an Ashvamedha Yajna. And he sends out a challenging horse, has a chance to send out the challenging horse. So he's going to have a child, and he sends out the challenging horse and challenging. It sounds like the horse has to go freely everywhere and either you accept the supremacy of the king or you fight the king. You obstruct the path of the horse. So the horse has to walk around for a year. And in the meantime, the king is preparing for this Ashvamedha Yajna, for the sacrifice. And then it comes to the time when they actually have the sacrifice. Okay, they're also going to have a sacrifice, and there's one Rishyashringa is a very special rishi. The whole story, there's, everything here has a whole story about it. Okay, my capacity is limited, but there's a Rishyashringa also. He is very special. He is also invited for this sacrifice and to come to bless the occasion. And then there is invitations to all kings, and not only the kings, but also the demigods comes for this sacrifice. And then it happens, in the meantime, so there's this sacrifice for having a child. In the meantime, or they start to sacrifice, and at this time, okay, the demigods are present also, some or other in the sacrifice, but there's on a different level, there's a disturbance in the universe. Okay? There's a demon. His name is Ravana, and he's very powerful. And he lives at Lanka, you know, Salem, I believe it was. And there, he becomes so powerful, he's a little bit like Hiranyakashipu, quite a bit. Actually, let's see, Hiranyakashipu, Ravana, I think there's a connection there, okay. From another, that's another story, okay. But he disturbs the whole universe. He's about to take over the power from Indra. And this may not happen. You may say that Lord Indra is bad or this or that. No, he's good. But it's his challenge. So now the demigods go to the Brahman. Know what to do. And then Lord Brahma says, well, there's a sacrifice going on. And he actually asked Lord Vishnu to come and ask for the help of Lord Vishnu in this matter, so that Lord Vishnu would take his birth. And the arrangement in that way, this is the right time. Okay, Lord Vishnu will take birth from Dasarath. So they make this yajna, and at the same time there's a kind of a discussion there. Okay, yes. So Vishnu, Lord Vishnu, the Supreme Lord, agrees on a higher level. They're like, okay, I understand. Now we'll take my birth here from Dasarath, in his family, as a human being, as a king. And agreement is made there. So then the yajna is made, and then at the end of the yajna there is this something like a sweet rice. It's like blessed sweet rice. Especially blessed drink, holy drink. Sweet rice is very nice. And unfortunately, we will not have it today because we don't take rice today. So that is loaded by the power of the sacrifice. And then at the end of the sacrifice, the king gives this drink. And then he gives to his first queen, his oldest queen, or whatever, the first queen. Oh, yeah, that's Kaushalya. Kaushalya gets the first half of the drink. And then there's, what is he? Gives some first half, and then she gives some portion to the other queen, Sumitra. Kaikeyi. Okay, that is it. She takes half, and then she gives to Kaikeyi. And Kaikeyi is the second queen, and she takes half of the half, and then the rest is given to, Sumitra. And somehow the Sumitra gets two portions. So it ends up that Maharaj Dasarath gets four sons from his three queens after this sacrifice. And Kaushalya gives birth to Ram, Kaikeyi gives birth to Bharat, and Sumitra gives birth to Lakshman and Shatrughna. So this is, and they take birth, I assume, about the same time, but it's not exactly the same time, because Ram's, that's also one thing here, we're giving very exactly that. Okay, it was the ninth day of the waxing moon in the month of Chaitra, and the sun was there, and the moon was there, and all the planets, so we're giving an exact celebration when it happened. So therefore, we know, also Krishna, we know Krishna Janmashtami, he is born on the eighth day of the waning moon, a little bit later on. So Ram takes birth, and it becomes a great pleasure. He is the Supreme Lord, but he is like the manifesting himself as a perfect king, the perfect abider by Dharma. Almost, we can say, too perfect. It became a problem for Lakshman. And there was also like this, Bharata and Shatrughna was more inclined to Bharata and serving him. And Lakshman was specifically dedicated to Ram, to serve him, follow him. So then follows his whole, okay, he takes birth and he grows up. And not too much is mentioned about his growing up, but he's a regular, they're growing up. The learning the arts of kings or princes to use weapons or whatever, and to rule. But everyone is very attracted to Ram because he's the ideal king. Just like, wouldn't we like to have the ideal king, ideal ruler, you know, who protects everyone, is kind to everyone, never makes a wrong judgment. You know, we have all of us available, so to say. Or you can feel protected. Everything is okay. Make sure that everyone has a proper engagement according to the inclination, according to their whatever. Varna and ashrama, like that. So that was Ram. He was like promising. He was going to be the perfect king. The good. Inheritor of the kingdom. What happens is that, of course, I went through here. The demigods. Okay, the demigods. Lord Vishnu appears as Ram, like Ram, Bharata, Lakshman, and Satrughna. They all Vishnu Tattva. They are the, what is it, Shatavyura. What's it? Vasudev, Pradyumna, Aniruddha, Shankarshan. They appear in this form. Now the demigods, they also appear, but they also told that they should also appear. And they, in a very specific way, they appear in the form of the Vanaras. This is like some kind of monkey race. Because that's a discussion. What were they like? But they're not more like monkeys like today. The very cultured monkeys, very nice. In many ways, still they have some monkey ways also. They maybe in the old times the people, the human beings was much more advanced. So the monkeys and the animals were also more advanced. And we have this in Kali Yuga. We're not almost. I guess. The human beings have almost become monkeys also, okay, in a way. Because Darwin, okay, we have Darwin's, whatever, great theory, appearance or something this year. Yes, we came from the monkeys. So the modern society has turned the human being into monkeys, okay. The theory is, they've proposed a theory that we're coming from monkeys, and they turned us into monkeys. Quite interesting. But we are not meant to be monkeys. We're meant to be human beings, devotees of the Lord. Of course, this monkeys, the Vanaras here. Well, Vanaras, one says Vana means forest. So they're inhabitants of the forest, we could say. They were inhabitants of the forest, whatever they look like, or some kind of. So they appear, and that is. And this is going to be important in the future, that this Vanaras, because they're going to meet. Ram is going to meet the Vanaras, and that is, Hanuman is one of the leading personalities. He's not the king of the Vanaras, but he's one of the leading personalities. A little bit like, you could say, Arjuna, he's a great person, but he's not the king. Yudhisthira is the king, and Arjuna is one of the brothers, but he's like part of the leadership team, we could say, Hanuman. what happens is that, it's the birth of Lord Ram today, so in any case, but there's a whole big story. And I go a little bit of it. Is that Vishvamitra, he's a great sage, you know that. Very powerful. Actually, he was a Kshatriya. But he wanted to become a Brahmana. Kshatriya is a little bit ambitious. They always have to be best. The Brahmanas are more powerful than me. So I want to become a Brahmana, the greatest Brahmana. So he had to work very hard to get the position as a Raja Rishi, or the greatest of rishis. But he actually being very powerful. He was performing a sacrifice. Okay, it's another sacrifice. In those times, one made sacrifices. In one sense, we're making sacrifices also. We're having our Sunday feast. The Sunday feast, in a way, is a sacrifice. To glorify the Lord. It's a nice sacrifice. It's a little bit, you know, chanting, dancing, whatever, sitting down and listening. It's a little bit of a sacrifice. You know, you could be watching the TV or something. You know, no, okay, we'll let that be. And now we're going to hear about Krishna, Ram. So that's it. We sacrifice our ear and eyes. But at the same time, it's nice. So, sacrifice is for the sake of uplifting the world, uplifting the consciousness, and benefiting the world. So in one sense, we're uplifting our consciousness so that we can progress back home, back to Godhead. At the same time, by uplifting our consciousness, we positively affect the world. So we want to do something good for the world, then we should make some sacrifice. We do some chanting and hearing and feasting, offering to Krishna, making some sacrifice, offering nice bhoga to Krishna, sanctify it, and then distribute it. So in that way, the consciousness in the society, in the world, is being lifted. And that way is a real way to benefit the world. Okay, so, and then you have excuses, just like, what's the excuses? Maharaj Dasharatha, he wanted to have a good child, good children. So he made a sacrifice. But in the result being the Supreme Lord appearing as his child, but also it benefits the whole world, the whole society. Now Vishwamitra was also making a sacrifice for the benefit of the universe and whatever, for upliftment. But he had a problem. And that's when he was performing the sacrifice, there were two demons that came and disturbed and interrupted the sacrifice. Let's see now if I got it there. Right here. One was Marichi. And the other one was Subhagu or something. And it was nasty. And they were nasty. You know, someone coming in. So when he's just about to finish his sacrifice, he come in and throw in flesh and blood and whatever, and just make a mess of the whole thing. And they're typical of the demons. They want to interrupt the sacrifices. Because the sacrifices doesn't benefit them. Doesn't benefit the demons. So they want to stop sacrifices, interfere with the sacrifices. Why should they make sacrifices for the Supreme Lord? They should sacrifice for us. Please us or whatever. So that we can also see in our modern society, the modern demonic society. We just say the society is demonic because it's not favorable to sacrifices. Then yeah, it's okay, you can make your bhajan in your home or whatever, but don't speak too loudly. Don't preach too loudly. Yes, you can believe in your myth. It's only myth, you know. They want to kind of take the power out of the sacrifices so that they can take the power. And they're taking good power nowadays. Human society. On okay, so this demon, they interfere. So yeah. So what to do? But at the same time, it's a very powerful stage. You could just make a curse and kill them. But when making a sacrifice, he is not allowed to kill. So he should be non-violent. So what to do? So he went over. I don't went over or whatever. So I go to Maharaj Dasharatha. And I ask, and he comes to Maharaj Dasharatha, and he speaks nicely and whatever. Actually, Maharaj Dasharatha speaks to Vishwamitra and says, and you know, please, my dear sage, you know, what can I do for you? Whatever you ask, you know, I will give you. Vishwamitra is very happy, and he glorifies the king, and you know, says very nice, and says, I'm very happy for you. You offer whatever I want. So I want that your son Ram comes with me and fights these demons. Now Well, I know if he mentions Ram and Lakshman, but in any case, it ends up. He wants Ram and Lakshman. But then Dasarath says, oh no! He's such a nice son. And he's only 16 year old. He has a teenager. You know, he hasn't really fully grown up. You know, he's not even allowed to make, I don't know, the military. In our modern society, not allowed to do the military service or to vote or something. You know, he's not even fully grown up. I didn't want to come in to fight these demons. No. I will go instead and I will take my army. No problem. You can't take my son. He is too dear to me, and he's not just a boy yet. Because would you like to send your sons from the 16-year-old to fight some terrible demons? No, you wouldn't. I don't think Dasarath didn't want either. But then Vishwamitra gets angry. That is Vishwamitra. He still has some kind of radyas or whatever. He gets, what is this nonsense? And you promise me, and now you back off your promise. What is that? So you're king. You know what kind? You're disgrace to your disgrace to your dynasty. Your dynasty will be vanquished. So then Dasarath actually counsels also with Vasishtha, who is his guru. And Vasishtha says, no, you should let Ram go. There's some meaning to it. So then Vishwamitra becomes happy. Okay, thank you. That's what I want. Everyone wants Ram. to be able to... He says, it's okay, the king, you know, maybe can do the job also, you know, but he wanted to have Ram and Lakshman there. And it's also... It's also part of the divine plan, let's say. So then, they take off. And Ram, he's always, yes, my dear father, you know what you want? Yes, he's such a wonderful person. A perfect. Then he is a king, the prince, but immediately he take, okay, now Vishwamitra is like his guru, and you know, respectful, all respectful, in the serving mood, and they follow Vishwamitra. And towards Vishwamitra's ashram. Even on the way to the ashram, happened something, they came across one female demon, Taraka. Funny. Okay. Taraka Devi does. It's so funny. Well, here it says Taraka in this book. Taraka. In any case, here it's written in a different way. It's always a little bit difficult. Exactly, how is it? But in any case, she was terrible. But there, Ram had a difficult. Well, you know, Vishwamitra said, you should kill her. And don't worry about killing a woman, because she's so nasty that she should be killed. But then, she comes there and, you know, Ram, in any case, first just cuts her hands or whatever, but that doesn't help. So then, Lakshman cuts the nose and ears, and in any case, finally, Ram shoots and ends her life. And then everyone is happy. And then he stated also that sometimes it happens. It's not proper to kill women, okay? You should not. It's not. It's against the rules. Even if they do terrible things in general or something, that is to be, they're not to be killed. But in this, sometimes it happens. In extreme cases. So, in any case, she was, there's a story about her also. And she met the death by Ram, and thus she is blessed. Mm. Then Vishwamitra there, taking a rest on by the side of the river, what was the name? In any case, whatever. They take a rest by the bank of the river and stand up early in the night, early, and as a, with a thank, in one sense, a blessing, having killed this demon, Tarka, they get a heavenly weapons, divine weapons. So in the morning there, Vishwamitra initiates Ram into these heavenly weapons. And the weapons come there, and you know, and they offer themselves for the service of Ram. And Ram just says, whatever you do, so Ram, what can we do for you? So then Ram says, well, whenever I think of you, please come. And then Vishwamitra is initiating Ram in the mantras needed to use these weapons. And then they move on. And they come to the beautiful place, beautiful forest. And Ram asks, what is this forest? He says, Vishwamitra said, well, here, previously, Vamandev was staying here after the sacrifice with the Bali Maharaj. He was staying here, not anymore, but I've made my ashram here. And here's where I make my sacrifice. And now I'm going to start my sacrifice. And from tomorrow on, you guard the sacrifice. So that was a 9-day sacrifice. And Vishwamitra was making his sacrifice. And Ram and Lakshman were standing guarding there during the days and night and whatever, all time. And nothing happened. But then the 9th day, the final day, then Ram tells Lakshman that, okay, now we really have to be alert. Now it's coming. And then the demons came. There's some cloud in the sky, some dust cloud or whatever, and then it started. And then they were fighting. And they were moving back, and this Marichi, he was kind of thrown far away, and the other one was killed. This was significant. This is the beginning, because this Marichi and this other demon, they were associated with Ravana. That's a part of the story. Marichi, after this, he turned into kind of a sage, and he lived in the forest somewhere. Okay. Later on, it happens that. Okay, we know the story. Okay, well, actually, that's one. What happens after this? Vishwamitra is very pleased, of course. Of course, he's very pleased. They've done the task. They protected the sacrifice. He could finish the sacrifice, so to say, complete the sacrifice. And then after that, he doesn't go back to Maharaj Dasarath immediately, but they take a small detour. How is that? Koshala? I think the town. Mithila. Mithila. And there is where. there is. I think there's a contest going on or something. Where there is a Svayamvar of Sita. And they move over in that direction. And this is not known in advance. Well, it is not to Dasarath, but in any case, Vishwamitra. He brings them there. And then we know there. So they move on, and they went over there. And then we know the whole story. There's Sita, who takes birth from Maharaj Janaka, I think. Janaka. And she is born out of the earth. When Janaka is going to plow the earth. In the spring, and you know, to inaugurate the plowing. The king does some plowing there with the golden flower, you know, to like start the beginning of the season for good results. And actually, that's maybe connected with this Akshaya Tritiya. It comes at the end of April. Now this year, it's 2 days after Gadadhar Pandit's appearance, and it says it's a good time to start things. It's a good time. In any case, I have some time in the sea plowing, and then there comes up this baby girl from the earth. And that becomes his daughter. That's Sita. She was born from the earth. In any case, and she's a very extraordinary girl. And then there's this extraordinary bow that King Janaka had, or was in his dynasty, that is so powerful that no one can string it. And it's also so heavy, no one can lift it, hardly lift it or whatever. You have to have so many men to lift it. And then there's this context where, contest, what is it, competition or whatever. Okay, the Sita, she managed to lift this bow very easily. So of course we know that, you know, for the marriage to function well, and in those times at least, you know, the husband has to be more qualified than the wife. And it's easier to be obedient to the husband for the wife. In any case, so if that's going to be a husband to Sita, she must be more qualified than Sita. So he must be able to lift his bow and string it. In any case, we know Ram managed to string it and break it. And that's why he gained Sita as his wife. And then so they could return to Ayodhya after all this expedition, not only fulfilling Vishwamitra's request, but also gaining Sita as the wife of Ram. So that's a big beginning. And that's a nice beginning of the story. And then everything is nice and happy, and then Ram is going to be the king. And then the difficulties. The story further continues with the exile in the forest, and then finally the kidnapping of Sita, and the Vanaras, and the fighting with Ravana and Lanka. Well, that's a little bit about Ram, what I can say today. Maybe I have some question or comment. I don't know. Of course.
What is the purpose of his incarnation?
Well, the purpose to show what a perfect king is. And also, of course, the perfect of the ones. Well, to have a good time. The Lord incarnates have a good time to enjoy his pastimes. And his pastime as a perfect king, to give the example of a perfect king, at the same time annihilate Ravana. Actually, there's Ravana, who's it? Ravana, Kumbhakarna, and there's Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha. We have Jayam Vijay. Okay, that's the whole story. Jayam Vijay getting cursed, and that's taking birth. Curse to take birth in the material world, and then getting the boon. Well, you can make a choice. You can seven lives as devotees or three lives as demons. So it's good devotees that chooses to be three lives as demons. And then the first incarnation as demons, reincarnation, whatever, they are appearing, is then as Hiranyakashipu and whatever, Hiranyaksha, who is being killed. Hiranyaksha being killed by the Supreme Lord in his form of Varahadev, and then Hiranyakashipu being killed by the Supreme Lord in his form of Nrisingadev. But then they make the next appearances as Kumbhakarna and Ravana. Okay, so Kumbhakarna and Ravana. They again, this Jayam Vijay, and again becoming, they're performing austerities, getting boons. Let's see, I think that this time by Lord Shiva, or is it Brahma? I don't know. They're getting boons. And Ravana again, he gets booned, you know, I don't want to be killed by this and that and whatever. But he thinks, these human beings I don't have to worry about. So he didn't bother. Human beings, I think animals also, you don't have to worry about. But he also not being defeated or killed by the demigods and this and that. So this is the part. Krishna Supreme Lord appearing as Ram in order to kill or enact this pastime of fighting with Ravana and Kumbhakarna, because they are to be, that's their destiny, to come in the form of demons. And that's, it can be a good fight for Lord Vishnu on Araya, the Supreme Lord. You have to have a good fight and enjoy that. And we know that there is no fighting in Vaikuntha in the spiritual world, at least not of this kind. So this Lord has to appear, that is arranged in this world, so to say. So that is in some way his to annihilate. Well, his mission is very clearly, how is it? Yada yada hi dharma shya glam bhavita bharata zatma tadatma. How is it? One second, you have to use my external memory, okay. Yada yada hi dharma shya glam bhavita bharata abhyutanama dharma shya tadatma yam tujyamya. Whenever and wherever there is decline in religious practice and a predominant rise of irreligion at that time, I descend myself. Paditra naya sarunam vinashaya saduskritam dharma samstapanartaya sambhavana yoga yoga. In order to deliver the pious and to annihilate the miscreants, as well as to re-establish the principles of religion, I advance myself millennium after millennium. So to annihilate the miscreants and whatever, deliver the pious and re-establish Dharma, he can. So that is his purpose.
My second question. I mean, he was suffering.
Was he?
Yeah. I mean, both he and Sita were suffering. I mean, how can he be God? How can he be suffering?
Well, the question, was he suffering? Was he tonight?
Yeah, I mean, his wife's door.
Yes, terrible. Well, that was without suffering. Without suffering was not like our suffering. In any case, he's enacting this pastime. Yes. And on some level, he enjoys it, okay? Don't ask me how. But on some level, that is his lila, his pastime. And in one sense, he suffered there. And then he defeated Ravana, and they meet again, of course, and there's more calamities coming later on. But in this way, there's a wonderful story. And then the devotees sit and listen and cry, and they're happy. And the Lord appreciates that. Rasa being exchanged with the devotees, hearing about his pastimes, and that way he's enjoying it. Okay. Well, that gives him the pleasure. Okay. Something. Matari, how did you? Well, she is the goddess Lakshmi appearing in this way. And so it's the eternal concept of Narayan and the Supreme Lord. So the Supreme Lord, then she also appears, but she appears in this special way. She appears from the earth, actually. In one sense, we could say that the earth also is our mother, or the goddess, the mother goddess, or the female goddess who carries us. And in some way, Sita represents that in this post. Okay, yeah.
You were mentioning the sacrifice for the benefit of others. What are the qualifications of people who perform such sacrifice? What do they have to do like?
Well, in the demon also makes sacrifice to get power. The Bhagavad Gita, in the chapter of the divine and demonic qualities, whatever Krishna speaks, is that the demons, they also make sacrifice, but they don't really follow the rules and regulations. And they, because they, well, if they make sacrifice, it makes the sacrifice a selfish purpose, or maybe even to harm others. Whereas the devotees, well, they maybe Dasarath had a selfish purpose in a sense. Well, a good selfish purpose. He wanted to have a good son. At the same time, he's making it such a way that it's for the benefit of everyone. So we say, so the good, the devotees, the pious persons that make a sacrifice that's beneficial for everyone. Demons, their tendency is to want to make things that disturbs others. Benefits himself, but disturbs others. To make a sacrifice, in this age of Kali, there was many sacrifices, and sometimes we have a fire yagya. That is a small resemblance, or maybe a shadow of the real sacrifices made in the past. But a real sacrifice we know is the chanting of the holy name of the Lord, the congregational chanting of the holy name. So that is the sacrifice. And the chanting of the holy name is so wonderful because nothing can really go wrong there. Well, you know, you can't commit offenses to the chanting of the holy name, but if you're chanting the holy name, you're chanting the holy name. So a way to counteract the offenses of the holy name is to chant the holy name. I don't know. So that way, you don't need any qualification in this age to chant the holy name. Just needs a little bit of sincerity or willingness to chant the holy name. That's a qualification. A desire to chant the holy name. Or willingness to just try to chant the holy name. And also, you don't need to, well, to sit down and hear the holy name and hear about Krishna is also sacrifice. One says to speak about Krishna, in a way it's also sacrifice. It's not a difficult sacrifice. For some it's maybe more difficult, easier, whatever. But it's a little bit, it's a way of focusing, you can say sacrifice in a way, sacrifice is something that focuses our attention on the Supreme Lord. So that way, by speaking about the Lord, by chanting the holy name, by hearing the holy name, that's hearing the lecture, our attention is drawn towards the Supreme Lord. So that we can say it's a sacrifice. And the effect of that is that our consciousness is being purified, meaning lust, anger, greed is reduced. Maybe not fully taken away, but it's being reduced. The mind becomes somewhat a little bit more peaceful. A little bit. But by our consciousness being purified and elevated, it affects the total consciousness. If you say total consciousness, no. But I mean, What I think, it is a very powerful position with Vyasa. I'm sitting in Vyasa's seat, you know, it's very powerful. You have to be careful, you know. What am I thinking and what am I saying? Because in one sense, what I speak is a reflection of what I think or my state of consciousness. Now, of course, I may be to speak nicely, but I don't know where my mind or my consciousness, what is my motivation? But we certainly affect each other, even if we don't speak by the word presence. I mean, sometimes you can just feel someone is coming into the room, and you just feel like, oh, this guy, okay. Or she, whatever. Okay. Someone you don't, maybe have some quarrel with, or whatever. You just feel it. I mean, you can even feel it outside the door. You haven't even entered the room. You can kind of pick up the vibration. So that is a common phenomenon. So in that way, you know, And if there's some nice person, can we let you feel, you know, feel happy? You know? Okay, please. So it affects you, even maybe not so much as said, or maybe not even anything is said. So that way, our state of consciousness, or whatever, our aura, it stretches out and it affects. As we are being influenced, when we walk out in the street and so many, we're being influenced by that, but being a little bit purified, we also influence in the different way, in the different direction. So that's a sacrifice. We do something. And qualifications, that's Krishna. Okay, whatever that meant. Time for Harinam, okay. Yes, it's time for sacrifice. Qualification is that we're willing to do, okay. Basically. Because maybe there can be some demon to go with and try to screw up the Harinam also, I don't know. Could be. Yeah. Okay, it's a clear sign. Time for the next part of the program. I think that was the next part of the program. Okay, thank you. Nice to see you all here. Hey, keep quiet. Keep quiet. I'm not fully finished yet, okay? Okay, so Ram Navami ki jai. Prabhupada ki jai. Jai Pataka Maharaj ki jai. Gopala Mananda.